It's the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Many of us spend a lot of time around family this time of year. Some of us even look forward to it. But family doesn't just mean the people to whom we are biologically connected. And that's especially true for, as an example, people who are in the LGBTQ community. Although more families are more accepting than in the past, coming out can still mean getting cut off from the people we love. And that isolation can be painful. And this is where the idea of found family comes in. The people who support us and show us they care and for whom we care, too. Dr. Lex Brown James, a marriage and family therapist based in St. Louis, explained the power of chosen family to NPR back in 2022.
Chosen family gives people a soft place to land, a place where they know they're going to be accepted, a place where they know they can still carry on their own family traditions and be in a place that's loving and caring and celebratory instead of somewhere that's actually harmful.
So as we head into Christmas week, we are sharing stories of found family in the LGBTQ community and beyond. With me for this is Tom Ray, editor and publisher of the Illinois Eagle, an online news source serving LGBTQ communities across Illinois. Tom, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Brian.
Also with us, Jerry Carden, a longtime pillar of the LGBTQ community in Champaign-Urbana. Jerry, thank you for being here, too.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks.
And Piper Bly is an artist and graphic journalist, a photographer, and an occasional radio DJ. She's the host of a holiday music marathon on the internet radio station Data Fruits. For the purposes of FCC compliance, we're going to call it Jazzy Bleeping Holidays. Piper, welcome to the show.
Hey, pleasure to be here. She, her pronouns for me, by the way. Sorry about the voice. I've spent my life in metal bands, and it just kind of comes with the territory.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. Listeners, if you want to join us today, our phone lines are open for the rest of the show. Maybe your life has been made better by found family. What's that been like for you? You can join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. All right, Jerry, I'm going to begin with you. Found family can take a lot of different forms. What does that look like for you?
Oh, I think found family became an issue for me even before I really came out to my own family. As I began to come out to friends, they became part of my found family and supported me. And now that my husband and I, we met in 81 and we've been together now for nearly 44 years. We have collected lots and lots of people that are, quote, found family with friendships, people in organizations in the community. And I wanted to add another comment in terms of my husband had never really come out to his parents, and his parents were pretty slow to come around in supporting our relationship. And his aunts and uncles and cousins all filled in the void for it was kind of found family within the family when part of the family wasn't supportive.
Oh, so that's fascinating.
That was kind of interesting too. Yeah.
Yeah. Piper Bly, what about you? What does found family mean to you?
Quite a few things. I myself have had a fairly similar path, unfortunately. I'm originally from St. Louis, Missouri. Spent a lot of my childhood in rural Missouri, as you can tell from the fact that I consistently mispronounce my home state's name.
I like it.
And with that, and with a fairly evangelical upbringing, I found myself without many roots very quickly. I spent a lot of my 20s in and out of, you know, homelessness, that kind of thing. And what found family means to me is, I guess, a little bit more varied than it would for your average queer person, because family for me is whoever gives a hand up and whoever I can give a hand up to. I've had sisters that I've, you know, crashed on their couch, and I've had sisters that have crashed on my couch when I've had a place to offer. Really, it's more of a community-focused mindset for me, because if you don't have that root to fall back on, that like familial, you know, that family home, that ancestry, but you do at least have other queer folk, you can at least look at other queer folk and be like, all right, we are the roots now. We will continue to grow together and we will nourish each other. It's a more it's a wider net, I would say. It's, you know, it's not as limiting.
Mm-hmm. Tom, what about you? And maybe I should mention that, you know, even maybe we can even limit it to, since you started the Illinois Eagle, how has the sense of community among LGBTQ people evolved in that time?
Oh, wow. That's that's going to be more than just a few minutes. How it's evolved, I think it's in some ways it's more interconnected, just simply because of social media. But some of the things don't really change because it is still people you find that you connect with that have the same experiences. I've been very lucky that my bio family was pretty accepting, but they didn't make my chosen family, which has also been there at some of the worst times in my life, that's still the family I will often turn to first or is closest to me to help out.
Jerry, we need to take a break in about a minute here, but some people listening may think, well, this just sounds like close friends. What sets the idea of a found family or a chosen family apart from people who are otherwise just good friends?
Oh, I think it's being there for each other in a much deeper and more meaningful way, because you know that you don't have that kind of support from your regular family. And as I think Piper mentioned, having people, you know, come and crash on your couch or helping them through a particularly difficult time. Maybe they're having medical issues. I know during the AIDS era, we had lots of people that had been abandoned by their families. And so we were the ones that were sitting with the sick person and staying overnight and having schedules to make sure that they always had someone with them and helping them through the, you know, it's so sad to say now, but through the dying process as well.
Yeah, obviously. What a time. All right, we need to take a break on the program. So we're going to do that, and we're going to continue our conversation about found family, especially important as we are approaching the holiday season. My guests for this conversation are Jerry Carden, Tom Ray, and Piper Bly. We welcome your joining us as well. 800-222-9455 is the number. Maybe you have found a family. Maybe you're LGBTQ and have found a family. Maybe you're not, and you have found family in other circumstances. We'd love to hear your story. 800-222-9455 is the number. More to come here on the 21st show. Stay with us. It's the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are talking about the idea of found family, the people to whom we may not have blood ties, but who still provide deep support and care for us and each other. We're talking about what this means in particular to LGBTQ people in Illinois here going into the Christmas holidays, and as we'll get to, also the uncertainty that is ahead for people who are LGBTQ with the coming change of administration in Washington. We're talking about this with Jerry Carden, who is a longtime pillar of the Champaign-Urbana community, and Piper Bly, who's an artist and internet radio host, and Tom Ray, editor and publisher of the Illinois Eagle LGBTQ newspaper. You can join us today at 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. All right, Piper, we so often think of family in terms of, you know, where we gather physically together, right? The living room, the banquet hall, whatever it may be. But technology, the internet, has really transcended a lot of those boundaries. And a lot of people do build meaningful connections with other people who are hundreds or even thousands of miles away. Do you see found family in that context as well?
I do, actually. A large part of why I started Jazzy Blank Holidays, the charity marathon that I do every Thanksgiving and Christmas over on datafruits.fm, is because I know what it's like to not have anywhere to go for the holidays. And for me, if there's been a positive voice, I don't just say this to buddy Allah, but if there's been a positive voice, something that has been there for me when I've needed it most, when I've needed a friendly, you know, it's been radio. That's part of why I got into radio myself, is to be that voice for other people. And so we're in our fourth year now of just, I start broadcasting at 12 midnight the night before, and then I go through 12 midnight 24 hours later, just to make sure that people have somewhere to go and some nice jazz to listen to. And a large part of why I can do that is because of the fantastic community we have over at datafruits.fm. Tone, Oven, and the crew, shout outs to them, have been absolutely fantastic in both giving me a weekly slot for the past few years, whether it be my original show, Identity Null, which showcased queer voices in electronic music, or the jazz program, which will hopefully be off of hiatus very soon. But, you know, we also have quite a large slate of just honestly other weirdos that have kind of banded together on this little website full of other weirdos on this internet radio station to just play things for each other. And that, to me, very much sums up what's beautiful about finding community on the internet, is just the ability to search out other people who are like you, whether they be other trans or queer folk, or just other weird nerds and goobers who just like the same kind of jazz you do. Yeah. And that's something that I'm very grateful to be able to provide for our community over at DataFruits.
Jerry, we've been, you know, what we just heard Piper talking about there, Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are often thought of as family-centric holidays. Talk about the ways that that can feel different when, for whatever reason, one doesn't have family to go back to.
Oh, I know back in the 80s when I was talking about earlier, we had a group in town called Alternate Current, and it was a found family for local gay men that weren't spending family times with holiday times with their family. So Tim and I would sometimes host like a Thanksgiving meal and invite people in. And I know there were lots of people that do that and still do that. In fact, we're doing that this year. We have a dear friend who is a trans woman who moved here from Arkansas with her husband. And just because we're a blue state, and they particularly chose Champaign-Urbana after lots of criteria that they were searching on. And so we've invited her for Christmas because she lost her husband in the meantime, and she's deeply afraid about what's coming and has been focusing on reading Project 2025, you know, every jot and tittle of it. And it's really important that we gear up our allyship and our advocacy for our transgender friends and what I call our transgender siblings. I'll let somebody else address that.
Well, no, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because, and Tom, I wanted to ask you about this specifically because you've been covering this at the Eagle, but a lot of LGBTQ people now, there's this background hum of anxiety given the rhetoric and, frankly, the legislative actions of President-elect Donald Trump and other Republicans toward LGBTQ people and trans people in particular. Tom,
jump in as the local trans person.
Yeah, no, and definitely. I want to ask you about this as well. But sir, you can go first, sure, if you want. Yeah, yeah. Go ahead. Talk about that.
I was going to say, like, please, you know, if y'all can, stand up for us. Like, we definitely appreciate that and need that right now.
Yeah, well, Tom, talk about what you've been hearing out there, I guess, for, you know, what effect that's having going into these holidays in particular.
The biggest thing there is fear, but also I've seen a lot of people preparing, like they're looking to move to safer states, like to Illinois, getting any paperwork they might have. There's actually clinics being done by local groups here in Illinois, but for updating their name changes, their passports ahead of what's coming next year. We've been trying to promote those as much as we can, just to share the information, and we're trying to prepare ourselves because we don't know what the landscape's going to be like. Since we're so publicly visible, we're just trying to prepare ourselves and reach out to everyone we can, just we're here, we're together, we can, as long as we're here, we can still keep fighting. It's stressful, but also just relying on those friends and the chosen family, it's a place where we can be safe. Even if the rest of the world is getting so angry and hostile, if there's still people we can turn to, just if not only just to help fight and to help heal, but also just to relax, people who get us, that we don't have to explain, or we don't have to say why we're worried or why we're scared or why we just really don't want to make that trip to Indiana this year. It's a place to find shelter.
Piper, you, if you're willing to talk about how you're thinking through this. We heard Jerry mention his acquaintance is reading Project 2025. I'm not sure I would recommend that as a coping mechanism, but how are you thinking about the months ahead?
I moonlight as a journalist, so I don't have the option of not reading these things. I have to stay informed. It's my job.
That is an occupational hazard.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But to answer bluntly, I'm trying not to. I'm trying not to think about it. It's very much one of those things. I was out as gay in rural Missouri well before I was ever out as, trans femme in a blue state like our wonderful, beautiful Illinois. So you get used to this existential horror just floating in the air above you. You get used to walking into one of the first things you learn when you come out as trans, which again, I did in rural Missouri, is you learn very quickly, to fear things like that you wouldn't think to fear in everyday life. Like, there's this transphobic stereotype that all trans women and all queer folk are bathroom predators. Going to the bathroom terrifies me. It terrifies most trans folk, not just trans femmes, not just trans women, but like most trans folk in general. And it's very much one of those things where if you want to help out, you want to be an ally, make us feel safe. The last thing I want to do when I'm out in public is have to go to the bathroom only to get pepper sprayed and the absolute tar kicked out of me for the crime of having to pee. But that's the reality a lot of us queer and trans folk face, especially in the face of ramped up legislation against us. We're not predators. We're not scary. We're human beings like you. And the vast majority of us are just want to live out our lives fairly normally, just in peace. And a lot of that existential crowd is coming from the full bore of an entire ecosystem of right-wing echo chambers focusing their entire wrath directly at our skulls. I don't think this was the first election where I remember hearing political ads aimed directly at people like me. And again, I'm not from a good area of the country, as you can tell from the accent. And it's very much one of these things where, like, we need to stick together, if not for our sake, for us trans folk, then for the rest of the queer community, because after they're done with us, they're going to come for the rest of the letters in LGBT, and then it's on to everyone else they don't like. So solidarity, I think, is definitely more important than ever, especially for those of us who, know what it is to be marginalized, and for those of us who don't really have homes to go back to begin with.
Jerry,
Wanted to tag on to what Piper was just saying, in that with all of the hundreds of pieces of legislation that's been passed against trans people and the bathroom bills that Piper was talking about, it's just atrocious. And what I'm hoping we can do, and we're gearing up to do here in Champaign-Urbana, is educating people that are already on the in the program, so to speak, and get it, but also helping people understand that this is a biological issue, it's not a choice issue, that it's something that you know, we need to help educate people, but then also the telling the stories of people like Piper and other people, because we can't leave it up to our trans siblings to always be standing up for themselves. So we need to stand up for them and help educate the public. And then maybe as time goes on, we can reach out to those people that aren't so supportive and hopefully help change some hearts and minds.
Jerry, just about a minute or two left in our time together. What you have a long perspective on this. You've lived through some dark times. You mentioned the AIDS crisis in the 80s. What advice would you have for people who might be listening to this, LGBTQ people, and maybe struggling to get through this holiday season?
Well, not just LGBTQ people, because allies can be not just allies can be our straight friends as well. And that's what we need now, is everybody to stand up and help out in terms of educating themselves, being on the forefront, and not being silent about what's going on. It's just so important to band together now and look at what comes as as hopefully not an onslaught, but we really don't know. So it's just planning ahead.
Tom Ray with the Illinois Eagle, probably the last word in our program to you.
Yeah, I was going to say basically to follow up with what Piper said, and it's not just in other states. Just past election, there was an anti-trans ad here in Illinois against Eric Sorensen. Luckily, I mean, Sorensen still won re-election, but it is something we still have to face even here in Illinois. So, yeah, we need to be working together, working with the trans community, working with people of color, working with women. That's how we're going to get through the next few years.
Tom Ray is the editor and publisher of the Illinois Eagle. Jerry Carden is a longtime pillar of the LGBTQ community in Champaign-Urbana. And Piper Bly is a graphic journalist, an artist, and a radio host at datafruits.fm. Thank you all so much for being with us. Happy holidays, and we'll talk in the new year.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
That's all the time we have for our show today and this week. Coming up Monday, African Americans were long excluded from advertising. One of the key figures in changing that was a man named Tom Burrell of Chicago, who, starting in the 70s, made advertising with black people and for black people. He's the subject of a recent biography. We'll talk with the author, Jason Chambers. That's coming up Monday on The 21st Show, which is produced by Anna Casey, Christine Hatfield, and Jose Zepeda. Our digital producer is Coulson Khan. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. And Reginald Hardwick's our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. You can find our show wherever you subscribe to podcasts, Apple, Spotify. We're also now on YouTube. You can find us by searching for Illinois Public Media, which produces The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk with you again next week.